All right, folks, welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. We'll go ahead and get started this morning. If you would grab your hymnals and turn to our first hymn, number 230, Heavenly Sunlight. Hymn number 230, Heavenly Sunlight. Heavenly Sunlight, 230, we'll sing there, starting there on that first verse. Let's sing. Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Amen. Good singing this morning. Brother Jeff, would you open us in a word of prayer? Amen. For our next hymn this morning, turn if you would to 211. 211, Whosoever Meaneth Me. Hymn 211, 211, Whosoever Meaneth Me. We'll sing there starting on that first verse. Let's sing. I am happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will may come with him to stay. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. All my hopes have been raised, oh, his name be praised, his glory has filled my soul. I've been lifted up and from sin set free, his blood hath made me whole. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. Oh, what wonderful love, oh, what grace divine, that Jesus should die for me. I was lost in sin, for the world I pine, but now I am set free. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. Amen. Good singing again this morning. If you need a bulletin, go ahead and lift up your hand. Brother James has those, and he'll get them around to you. Of course, welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. On the front there, we have our weekly memory passage, Romans 8:38. So you have probably about 2 weeks to get that done. It's through verse 39. There's still time, all right? You could learn it in a week if you try really, really hard. You'd have to try really hard. It's probably better to learn it a week at a time. But you do still have that opportunity. Of course, that memory verse is there. And it's like Pastor said on the midweek service, the bigger the chapter, the bigger the reward, all right? So obviously the biggest reward is writing the Word of God in your heart, but carnal rewards are cool too, all right? If you open up on the top left, we have our service times, and underneath that, our church-wide soul winning and their respective leaders. There was an update here to Brother Mo's phone number, so just check and make sure you've got that so that you're not texting someone like, man, why is Mo just not responding to me? It's because he has a new number, okay? So it's not because he doesn't like you. Well, maybe. I don't know. Underneath that, at the stats on the bottom, we have our month-to-date salvation, which is 40, or month-to-date salvations, I should say, and year-to-date puts us at 639. Is there any soul winning to report between Tuesday, when we had our last service, and today? Anything for Saturday? One, two, three. So three total, going once, going twice. So, all right, we'll add three more. Amen to that. And obviously keep up the hard work. What, the goal for the year is 1,000. It's not impossible, but we're going to have to put in some work, all right? So let's get out there, you know, say not, you know, wait until it's warmer to go into the harvest, for the harvest is white. You know, the fields are white unto harvest, I should say. On the top right, of course, keep being in prayer for our expecting lady, Miss Corinne Darnell. And, of course, be in prayer for Brother Nick and Miss Sarah. They welcomed their baby in last week on Saturday. And so that's why they're out just recovering. Be in prayer for them. And obviously reach out to them. Let them know that you're thinking about them and praying for them. And just encourage them, right? Underneath that, on that right side, we have upcoming events and guest preaching. Now, today, we have Brother Segura from Faithful Word out preaching for us. So definitely make him feel welcome. It's always a blessing when he comes out and is able to preach for us. And so just make sure to thank him. And it's Arizona's a little bit of a ways, you know, away from here. The weather here might be a little nicer than Arizona. I don't know, brother. What, you can tell me. So I don't know if you prefer the heat or what. Not right now. So, yeah. So, yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah. So, well, this is like the one time you can actually visit Houston, I feel like, and not melt. So there's that. Although in Arizona, you're probably just perpetually melting. So who knows? So good fellowship there. Upcoming on Friday, December 3rd, we have our Christmas caroling and pizza fellowship. And I did go ahead and put in here that time for meetup. The meetup is at 5:30 for caroling. Now, remember, what we're going to do is go out for about an hour and then come back and have the pizza fellowship. The reason that there's not like a re-meetup time is I'm not sure exactly the hard cut on, you know, are we leaving at 5:30 or is it at 6 or are we going to be back exactly at 7? Look, if you show up for pizza and you didn't go caroling, I mean, do that anyway, I guess, if you want to. But you should come caroling instead. Then you'll really know when we're having the pizza fellowship because you'll be there. And then Pastor's going to stay with us through that weekend. That's this coming weekend. And he'll be here on Sunday, December 5th, preaching both services. Upcoming after that, on Sunday, December 19th, we have Brother Duncan Urbanic. He'll be here. He's from Steadfast Dallas. He'll be preaching both services. A really good preacher. Thursday, December 23rd is going to be our Christmas candlelight service and cookie bake-off. And, of course, that cookie bake-off is the three category, right? And you can enter as many as you want, but there's going to be best tasting, most unique, and best design. And you could win all three with one, or you could win all three with three different cookies, or you could enter 40 types of cookies. I don't care, because the more cookies you enter, the more we can eat. So, I mean, there's no wrong way to go about this competition. And who doesn't like a little competition, all right? Then after that, we have this guy who's never preached for us before. It's Brother Chris Segura on Sunday, January 2nd. He'll be preaching both services again. So, yeah. So, and then Sunday, that's starting the new year off on the right foot. Amen. Sunday, January 9th, we'll have Brother Duncan Urbanic back for us, preaching both services. And Sunday, January 23rd, Brother Ben Naim, otherwise known as Ben the Baptist, will be here preaching both services. As far as I know, that's everything that's coming down the pike on upcoming events. But if anything gets added, we'll throw it in there and keep you guys posted. Of course, underneath that for prayer requests, just keep Brother Edward in your prayers as he's continuing to recover. He says everything's been going well, and so we'll just keep him in mind and lift him up in prayer. If you do have any prayer requests, whether they're spoken or not, go ahead and send those either to Pastor or Brother Nick, or you can email them to this email here, purewordsbaptist@gmail.com, and we'll make sure if it's a public prayer, we can put that in the bulletin for you. If it's private, they can, you know, Pastor can keep you in his prayers in private. And then on the back, of course, there's a spot to take notes. With that, I believe that is all the announcements we have for today. We'll move on to our third hymn. You'll grab your hymnals and turn to 205. Hymn number 205, 205, He Keeps Me Singing. We'll sing there on that first verse. Let's sing. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all love's life ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing. Always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Amen. While the offering plate's being passed around, turn if you would to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Brother Sam will read that chapter for us.
Okay, 1 Peter chapter number 1, find our places. As always, we're going to read this chapter together. Follow along with me, starting right here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, where the Bible reads, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. But the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired, searching diligently, whom prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ, which is in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. Grass withereth, the flower falleth, thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Bow heads for a quick word of prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come before you again, Father, and we give you thanks for allowing us to assemble as a church family. And hear a bold sermon preached by Brother Segura. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. Fill us all with your Holy Spirit. And we give you thanks for all your let him edify us and let us pay attention, amen. Listen to learn and be edified by his message. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good to see everyone this morning. If you look down at 1 Peter chapter number 1, you know, I want you to go ahead and look at verse number 3. It says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And verse 4, every time I read it, puts a smile on my face. And I don't know about you, but I like being happy. You know, I enjoy being happy. I don't like being sorrowful. I don't like being mournful. I don't like being depressed. If I want to pick an emotion, the emotion is to be happy. I'd rather be happy than a billionaire that's miserable all day, every day. You know, but the thing is this, sometimes, especially as new believers, we may not understand what the Christian life is really about. We may think because of all these prosperity preachers like Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland, if you don't know any better, I'm talking about people that are new, that don't know any better, like myself, 20 years ago, you may think that, wow, if I give it everything I have, I could be like this man, I could be like that individual, all false prophets, by the way, you know, but you can literally think that, you know what, if I stick with God, you know what, I think things, you know, are going to actually happen, my dreams are going to come true, and it is true that God will give you the desires of your heart, but when you're new and you don't know better, and you have these ideas of careers maybe, you may think to yourself, you know what, if I stick with God, that's the answer. That's the answer right there for me to get everything I want so that I can be happy. Amen? But the reality is that the Christian life is not about being happy every day. It's just not. And we'll see really quickly, you know, that there's a balance. You know, there's a balance. There will be a lot of moments where we're happy, we're enjoying life, but there will be a lot of moments, especially during the tribulation, where things are going to get a little bit crazy, that we may not always, you know, have to rejoice over what's going on in our lives in that specific moment. I mean, when you think of Genesis and every other book, there's always someone who's suffering, always, for whatever reason. You know, you think of Genesis, you notice that, you know, Eve is suffering, one of her sons gets murdered. And then she's rejoicing when God gives her another son. It's a balance. God knows that you're going to go through suffering, you know, but what I don't want people to think, and I think this church kind of gets it because of all the stuff that's been happening, you know, to your leader, is that you can't expect things to go well when you're serving the Lord because the devil doesn't like it. His minions don't like it. You know, reprobates don't like it. You know, so we got to prepare ourselves, and this is kind of what I want to do this morning, is talk about happiness in the Bible and give you that balance, you know, of what happiness in the Bible, you know, really is. Because I don't want you guys, like Jesus says, hey, I'm telling you, like Christ told his apostles, I'm telling you all these things that are going to happen because I don't want you to be offended. I want you to expect it. It'll help you if you know these things are coming. So if we know that the Christian life involves suffering, sorrowness, we're not going to quit that easy or even think that we're doing something wrong. If the preacher's out here constantly reminding people, it's like, hey, stick with it. It's not always going to be easy. But one thing is that it will be worth it. And when you look at verse 4, it says, listen, having a hard time, a little bit down, look what the Bible says. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you, where? In heaven. Right. In heaven. And I know somebody that I know personally ended up inheriting a house, but it wasn't a blessing. Because that house was a house that ended up just fading. And so he inherited. And then he's like, man, the property taxes are crazy. The house is breaking down. I just had somebody inspected, and this and this and this and this and this and this, you know, is straight up messed up with this house. It's a nightmare. It's not a blessing. Sometimes inheritance, you're like, wow, who and when and what am I getting? This time it's like, yeah, you inherited a house, but it might as well be a haunted house because it's causing you so much headache. But we don't have to worry about what's going to happen when we die. Because we do have an inheritance coming, and it's one that doesn't fade, it's incorruptible, and it's undefiled. And it motivates me when I know that, hey, when I think spiritually, you know what? As bad as things can get, I got something better waiting. People wonder, when is Christ going to return in my lifetime? I don't know about you, but I'm probably going to be dead in the next 50 years from old age. The Bible says if you make it past 70 by strength, you're a very blessed individual. You must have done something right to make God live you live more than that. But the average lifespan in the Bible, I would say even for a godly person, is probably about 70 years. Well, I'm 40. I'm 42. So think about it. 50 years, I'm going to be 90-something. So I'm going to see Jesus pretty soon because 50 years is going to fly. Yeah. It's just going to go so quick. I mean, I remember when I joined the Marines. Now I'm 42 with 8 children. I'm like, how did that happen? It's just like, boom. It is a vapor. Life goes so quick. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. But you know what? You know, this verse also reminds me of another verse that I came across when I was reading my Bible one day, and it reminded me of Donald Trump. Let me just read it for you. You go to John 14, 1. You know, because we know that we have an inheritance. We have something that's coming. We have something that is not just coming. It's never going to fade away. It's reserved for us. It's incorruptible, undefiled. And I believe that's just treasures in heaven, because Christ said to store for yourself treasures in heaven. You know, but there's also this verse that makes me think of Donald Trump, and I explain why. Psalms 49:10 says this: "For he seeth the wise men die, likewise the fools, and the British person, you know, perish and leave their wealth to others." Talking about, hey, you got rich people, even a brutish person, this person who's a, I guess you can say, a dummy, you know, he's going to die and he's going to leave his wealth to others. But their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own name. Hello, Trump Tower. And why did he name it Trump Tower? Because this is kind of the world's way, an unbeliever's way, of kind of living forever. They think that Trump Tower is going to last forever. And I'm sure he's not the only one. I mean, you got Rockefeller Plaza or whatever. I don't know why they named it Rockefeller Plaza. Maybe he had it somewhere in the deed when he died. He just gave it up, or he gave it to whoever and they kept his name. Why? Because he wants us to remember them when they're dead and gone. This is why I believe Elon Musk really wants to go to Mars. He really wants to be in the history books, because that's his way of living forever. But Trump Tower, Rockefeller Plaza, it's all just going to one day fade away, get destroyed. It's gone. How depressing is that if they were to know the truth? I think they know it and they don't want to face it. These people that have billions of dollars, Jeff Bezos of this world, who don't believe in the Lord, they reject the Bible, they're enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. I wonder, how many times a week does he think and look at his riches and kind of stress himself out by thinking, this stuff is going to someone someday, and I wonder what he's going to do with my money. I work hard for this. I put in, like Elon Musk claims, that he put in 100 hours starting out when he was coding back in the day. He lived literally in some kind of office with no bathroom, no shower. He lived on the floor with his brother, and during the day, they would just go to the YMCA and go shower up. Then they got so good at whatever they were doing, they sold their first business for like $400 million. Then he took that money, got into Tesla, now SpaceX, and supposedly he's the richest person in the world. But I wonder what he's thinking when he thinks of his riches. It's got to be depressing. But you know what? We have an inheritance. We have something that's common. And every time I read this, it just motivates me. I'll just read from Ecclesiastes 7:1. You know, so when it comes to us, a good source of joy for all of us is the fact that we are saved. But it's not enough to be saved. You have to dwell on it. Yeah. You have to set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth, because it's very depressing to people that may be saved in other countries like South Africa, and they look at all these people in America that are living so good. They could get themselves to the point where they start getting depressed because they're not thinking spiritually. You know, they're not. They're thinking carnally. And they may be thinking, man, it must be nice to be a Christian in America where I can live nicer and better and whatever. Because I've been to South Africa. I've been there. I got people saved. But it was in really poor areas. We almost wondered, do people even live here? But I can only imagine when they watch TV what they're thinking. Because it's not true. It's all fake. TV's just there to get you to either A, be fearful, or to become covetous. TV's being used to cause us to sin or be in sin or even stay in sin. And sometimes we don't even know it. But once we read our Bible, we're like, whoa, you know what? I shouldn't be like this. Hey, I need to quit this. I need to do this. I need to get better. I need to get more mentally stronger. But the majority of the people, as far as I know, you know, that are in South Africa, they're never going to see what we see. They're never going to drive what we drive. You know, we're not rich people, but we live nice. They're never going to see that. And I wonder, what do they use to motivate themselves? It has to be something spiritual. It has to be the Bible. You know, so when it comes to happiness in the Bible, we're going to see really quickly that it's not always, you know, a joyful thing to live the Christian life, but at the end, everything will be worth it. You name any Bible character that's stuck with God, what do they all have in common? They all have a happy ending. Yep. You name them. They all have a happy ending. But what about the ones that don't stick with God? They don't have a happy ending. They don't. You know, so you guys are on the road to a happy ending someday. Like I said, 50 years, I'm probably gone. No doubt. No doubt in my mind. If I live to be 100, I'll be shot. If I live to be past 70, I'll be happy. But I'm expecting to be the guy that's six score in 10 years. I'm thinking that's probably going to be me just because I had too many vaccinations in the military. It's all going to catch up. I'm just preparing my kids for what's coming. But they'll probably be great men of God down the road. and they won't need me anymore. You know, I'm here to raise them up in the way they should go. So when they're old, they're not going to depart. When I'm dead and gone and it's over, people stress like, man, I'm not sure about my kids. I'm afraid that they're going to turn out. What if they end up messing up their lives? Hey, you train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Take that to make you happy. Sermon about being happy, right? It's about knowing what happiness is, what the Bible teaches in regards to happiness. You know, but one thing that we all can already know without even being told is that the number one way to obviously enjoy life better is just to do the right thing. I don't have to tell you guys that. I'm just here to remind you about it. And then we'll give you a couple other sources of happiness, you know, in case you were thinking, oh, this is it. Nope. This is a big subject. It's very hard to just talk about every single instance when the Bible refers to individuals, you know, going from being sad to happy in the Bible. You know, but for us, the main thing we got to realize is like, hey, we're saved. You want to start to be happy? Things ain't going well? Just remind yourself you're saved. Hey, if you were to die tonight, guess what? Most people think it's over. That's it. Dead, gone. Hey, sucks to be you. I wish your life would have been better, but not for the saved individual. How do I know? Ecclesiastes 7:1. Hey, it says this, the day of death, then the day of one's birth is better. It's better. Look what it says in Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Verse 23, for I am in the strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Luke 16 says this, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, I don't know how they did it. I don't know if these angels are so big, they can just kind of hold you like a baby in their arms and fly you into heaven, but that's going to be one cool day, amen? So for us, it's like, hey, if I die today, I'm going to see some angels. They're going to carry me into Abraham's bosom. I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe I can jump in their back like my daughter jumps on me and chokes me, and basically I carry them everywhere. I don't know how it's going to go, but it's going to be a fun time. And when you're down, just read these verses. It will help you to build happiness. Why? Because you're saved. That's probably the number one way to get happy right away. Things ain't going well. Well, at least I'm saved. One day, in front of Christ, one day, my mansion. And where did I get that from? Straight out of the Bible. I told you to go to John 14, correct? Yeah. Hey, when you start to feel a little stressed out, or what the Bible calls letting your heart be troubled, here's some more motivation for you. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I like this part, I go to prepare a place for you. Sounds like the one that we just read, right? First Peter, it says, hey, you have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fate is not away, reserved in heaven for you. Go to 1 Peter 1, 5. We're going back to 1 Peter. You guys were in John, go back to 1 Peter. But I love that. Many mansions, not some, many. And even though we may never see a mansion in our lives, meaning own one, we have one. Done. It's over. People are like, oh man, I wish I had it now. No, you don't. Because thieves will break in and steal. Amen. You don't want it yet, but it's up there waiting for you. And it's not a fairy tale. I mean, look, you guys are laughing because it does bring joy knowing, hey, my mansion's up there. It's up there. Not just that, but treasures. I know none of us are at the level of Hebrew 11s where none of us are sawed asunder or whatever. Hey, I'm pretty sure we've all done a lot of soul winning. But let's face it, these people in Hebrews 11, they got stoned. They got cut in half. They refused to be delivered. Why? So they can have a better resurrection, because they were smart, just like it says that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather suffer affliction with children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He was smart. He realized, you know what, it's not about the money, it's not about the treasures, it's not about the fame, it's not about the power. You know, it's 100% about being right with the Lord. Hey, I'm saved, being in the right mindset, because happiness truly is a state of mind, is it not? I mean, if you think negative, you're going to be negative. If you think positive, you're going to be positive. And as God's people, we're commanded to be positive. I know it's not easy, but we are able to do it and still be sorrowful at the same time. It's almost that fake it till you make it, showing yourself a man, like the Bible talks about. Hey, we know in the inside, we're kind of struggling a little bit, but on the outside, we can show a little bit more bravado. Why? Because that's what God wants us to do. Because it affects everyone. You're positive, people around you will be positive. Your boss is negative, the employees will get negative. It's not a good thing. But when it comes to happiness, we see all these verses that should make us start smiling. I mean, when the Bible says this, hey, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moss and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the false prophets. 1 Corinthians 2:9, one of my favorite motivators. It says, but as it is written, your eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing which God has prepared for them that love him. That's you guys. Because how do you know if somebody loves God? It's easy. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. What are you guys doing? Keeping his commandments. Why are you guys here? Because you're keeping God's commandments. Because you love God. Guess what? It's going to go good for you. You have no idea what's coming. But hey, I have a hard time like trying to figure out what would actually make me leap for joy and be so happy I'll act a fool in front of everyone. But I'm sure God has something, because he said you will leap for joy, you know, because your reward will be great in heaven. But you guys are right there in 1 Peter. So we see those verses starting off in 1 Peter saying, hey, you have an inheritance. That motivates me. Like, I can't wait to see it. It's made by God. The other verses tell you, look, there's mansions in heaven. There's a place for you in heaven. I'm like, whoa, I wonder what it looks like. It's got to be super impressive to cause people to rejoice and leap for joy. But all those verses help us to smile, but these verses don't. But it's not that it's all negative. You're right there in 1 Peter 1:5. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. That's where God wants us to be, greatly rejoicing. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. What is heaviness? That's depression. So did Christians in the Bible suffer from depression? Absolutely. So guess what? You will too. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with you. That's called being human. It's like, man, I'm so depressed. Some days I wish I wasn't even alive, like Moses. Some days I wish I wasn't alive, like maybe Peter when he forsook the Lord. Some days I wish that God would just take my life away, like Jonah maybe. I mean, think about how many prophets, good men of God, just say, God, just get me out of here. You know, I can't handle this. It's better that I were dead than alive. Why? Because we're going through temptations. And all I got to say is, if you're going through temptations, all I got to say is this. For a just man falleth 7 times and rise up again. Rise up. Right. You fall, rise up. Yeah. I had a crappy week. Rise up. I fell into sin. Rise up. I fell for temptation. Rise up. Because that's what God wants you to do. Man, I screwed up 7 times in a row. Rise up. Get up. Just get up. But it sucks. What does liking have to do with anything? Last time I checked in Ecclesiastes, it says, let it hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. Who's heard of Dr. Jack Hiles? Regardless of what you think of him, whether you like him or hate him, thinks he's a backslider, wonder if he's even saved, preached, you know, the preacher rapture until he died, makes you wonder if he's even saved. How can you read the Bible so long and believe in a preacher rapture? Had a Bible college until he died. How could he be saved? If he was right with the Lord, he would have probably figured out Bible college. Whatever you think of the guy, there's this one sermon that he preached called Duty. And one of the things I remember, where he kept saying, doesn't matter if you like it, doesn't matter if you're having fun, doesn't matter if you're being blessed, live the Christian life because it's your duty. It's your duty to do it. That's the same with your work. And he talked about being in the military. I don't know how long he was in the military, but he talked about how a lot of guys just did it because it was a duty, not because they liked it. But guess what? At the end, they wanted the glory that came from winning that war. World War II, regardless of what you feel about it, that's how they looked at it. We won! We won! You know, they all felt excited. They were all happy about it. You know, but this is similar, because here's how it is. At the time when they're going through tough training, they're going through some tough mission, they're going through maybe even a war, you know, there's going to be times of heaviness where they're depressed. But you can't quit, because then you lose for sure. It's over. The war is going to be, that's what they try to do sometimes. They try to demoralize the enemy, get them to quit, get them to give up mentally, because once they give up mentally, they're going to give up physically. And that's what the devil wants to do with you guys as well. And especially if you get into the Christian life like I did as a new believer, thinking, well, you know what? I got all these things I want to do in life. I even said this to myself. I even prayed this to God, which was a stupid prayer. God, I'll give you 1 year. My life doesn't change. I'm out. Well, I'm glad he had mercy on me and didn't send a lot of trials, because I wouldn't be here right now. But I did pray that one time. You know, because the preacher was like, God has a will for your life. I'm like, well, that's great, but I have one for myself. You know, come up to the old-fashioned altar and do business with God. Well, I did. God, I know you got a will for me, but I got some for myself. And I'll give you 1 year. If you help me, I'll stick around. If you don't, I'm out. How dumb is that? Because I thought that these were certain things that will make me happy, and I had those things in mind, and I was going for those things, and I thought with God, for sure they're going to come true. So I better make sure I come to church. I wasn't coming to church because I was trying to serve the Lord. I just wanted him to be kind of like my genie and just answer my request as I was living the quote-unquote Christian life. But if I had not been warned that it's not always going to be easy, things are going to happen, who knows? I would have just got confused. Like, I must be. You know how people are? I must be doing something wrong if these bad things are happening, or vice versa. God must not really have a big deal with my sin because, hey, he hasn't come down on me yet. Because we often do what? I learned this from Pastor Jimenez. We confuse God's patience with permission, right? He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But what do we see in 1 Peter? Peter's like, hey, I know you guys are depressed. You're in heaviness through manifold temptations. So guess what? Our lives are going to be filled with temptations. And it sucks when you fall into temptation. But what I have to say to you, rise up. Rise up there, just man. Rise up. Get up. No matter how you feel, remember the Jack Howell sermon is your duty to just keep going. Don't worry about how you feel. It's your duty to push forward. It's your duty to keep fighting. Just keep doing it for one reason only, because it's your duty, regardless of how you feel. But the good news is that, A, one of the reasons why God gives us joy is because we are doing the right thing. So it's not like we're going to live the Christian life, 90% of it miserable. That's not how it works. It seems like it's almost even when you're trying to do something big for God. When you're trying to do something big for God, bad things will happen, but a lot of good things will happen as well. You know, you'll see it more and more as you stick around with this church. As this church lives for the Lord, you'll see it. But it says that they're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So what is this saying? This saying is simply this, that, hey, these things need to happen so God can see what you're made of, so he can decide how he can use you more. And at the end, it's going to all be what? Worth it. Because that's what it says. At the appearing of Jesus Christ, you'll be praised and have honor and glory. So guess what? You want to do something big for God? Expect bad things to happen. Expect them. I started going to church. Moms didn't like it. Brothers didn't like it. Friends didn't like it. And sure enough, I'm like, do I know anyone that actually is happy that I'm going to church? The answer was no. No one. But I kept going because of the preaching, because of what I saw in Scripture. Once I was warned, then it was easier to deal with it. When my pastor was like, hey, they're not going to like it. I'm like, really? Why would they not like it? It's like, they know me. Shouldn't they be happy that I'm doing some activity that's making me a better person? The answer is no, because they're unsaved. They don't understand. They have a veil over their eyes. Anything you tell them goes right over their head. They're not saved. They're not spiritual. They just don't get it. So just stick to dropping a seed, trying to get them saved. Then they'll start getting it. But I was thinking, what? I thought the Christian life was all peachy and wonderful and blessed. And you know what? As long as I just keep going to church, you know, everything will go well. Not the case. Not the case. You see it from Scripture all day long. But here's the thing. You will think that. They're like, man, why am I so miserable? Why aren't things going well? Why am I upset? Why am I depressed? Who knows? All I can tell you is that God is the one that gives you love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, temperance. He gives you all that stuff. But he also tells us, and for example, Ecclesiastes. So if you have your Bible, go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. I'm in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. In fact, I'll skip that. I'll go to 7. You guys go ahead and meet me in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. And I'm going to go and read from Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. It says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. That is very hard to believe. But we live by faith, not by sight. How could sorrow, being sad, being depressed, be better than laughter? Well, the Bible says it. That settles it. But if you think about it, it makes sense. Because when you're sorrowful, It's probably because you're spiritual. And when you're sorrowful for spiritual reasons, then it makes sense. Because when you think about all the lost souls, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. So what in the world, you know, is going on when it says that sorrow is better than laughter? Because it will make you a better person. If things are always good, if things are always perfect, if things are always just a fun day, you won't be able to understand people's pain. You won't be able to become the person that you need to be with the compassion that you need to be able to go out there and give the gospel even in times when you don't want to. So what do we see? We see sorrowfulness as part of the Christian life. So what does the Bible teach us in regards to happiness? That you're not always going to be happy. It's impossible to always be happy. What does the Bible teach us in regards to happiness in the Bible? You don't need it to serve God. You don't. Don't rely on it. If you have it, great. Praise the Lord. Things are going well. Praise the Lord. You're physically good. Praise the Lord. Money's coming in. Praise the Lord. You understand? Hey, persecution is down. Praise the Lord. But you know what? Don't make it your main motivator. Don't make joy, happiness your main motivator. The Bible warns you against it. Because when things go right, right away they can be really, really bad. And let's take a quick look. Ecclesiastes 3. It says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born. That's a great thing. And a time to die. It's like, really? Right away it talks about death. Who really likes thinking about death? No one. I don't think people are waiting for their spouse or their father or their mother to die. We kind of want to deal with those things when they come. But the reality, when you look at Scripture, is that it's there. Time to be born, time to die. But we do not mourn like those that have no hope. And like we saw earlier, better is the day of your death than the day of your birth, if you're saved. Because what happens? You're going to meet the angels right away. They're going to carry you right away. And I mean, think about that. Immediately you die and you see something cool. Angels. Angels. And they're going to carry you through space. Forget about SpaceX. Let's go, angels. Let's do this. SpaceX only hits like the very top of the Earth, you know? They call it low orbit. We're going deep space. All you Star Wars fans, don't worry. It's coming. Warp speed ahead, angels. Let's go. And I wonder how we're going to be carried. I don't want to be carried like a baby. Like, really? This ain't cool. You're going to take me like this all the way to heaven? Let me at least strap myself on your back and go light speed and not hang on with my feet flying or whatever. But right away, when we die, what do we got? We got the angels. But look at this. It's like 50-50. It's like warning us. Like it's giving us a great balance. Saying, look, stuff that you see here, like for example, time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, that's not the easiest thing in the world. Nobody really likes to plant, sow seeds, break the ground down, have to water it. But a time to pluck up that which is planted, that's the fun part. A time to kill? Whoa, who really wants to do that? Obviously, there were wars in these days when he's writing it. And it says, hey, sometimes we have to defend ourselves. We have to kill. When they were going into the promised land, hey, the children of Israel did a lot of killing. Not murdering, killing. They were getting rid of people that were just evil. They had to go. And a time to heal. Time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. And hating ain't easy. It's very hard when we get backslidden. Hey, we should hate the evil and love the good. But we all know that when it comes to hating evil, it's just one of those things that we, I guess, got to just be ready spiritually. And you get that hate when you start seeing it. When you start seeing it live in your face, whatever sin is out there, that's when you're like, oh, start getting upset. But there's nothing wrong with you. And who's happy really when they're angry? No one. So when you look at this list, half of it is like great. The other half is not. It's like good and bad, good and bad, good and bad. So this is basically the Christian life. There's going to be ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. Happiness, joy, you know, sorrow, 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 depression. But that's what the Bible teaches in regards to happiness in the Bible. You're going to have both. And when you look at the list, it basically is telling you this. You're going to have both a lot. So start getting used to it so that you're not offended a month from now when something bad happens. And it's okay. It's okay to take it to the Lord and just take it to Him. You know, go to James 1:1. But nobody likes temptations, but I'm glad the Bible has verses like James 1:1 that reminds us the truth about temptations before we start getting deceived, thinking that there's something wrong with us because all these things are happening around us, testing us, whatever it may be, whether it's your job threatening to fire you, if you don't take the corona because of religious reasons, whether it's your friends or whoever, you know, your mom, your dad, whoever persecuting you. I'm sure a lot of people have gone through that. You know, whether it's even in your church, you may have just another church member that just doesn't like you and start speaking evil about you. But you know what? Things just happen where you just have to deal with it. But the main thing I wanted to show is that, A, when it comes to happiness in the Bible, what is it teaching us? It's teaching us that it's not always going to happen. It's teaching us that there'll be days where you're happy, but you got to be careful because bad things can happen. You're right there in James 1. It says, James, servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So we shouldn't say, hey, Lord, just like, I don't want any temptations. Because joy will come when you endure those temptations. The temptation to quit. The temptation to not come. The temptation not to read your Bible. The temptation to not pray. The temptation to just not tell people you're a Christian, you know, when you're getting, when the heat is on at work or whatever the case may be. You know, these things are going to happen. Why? So that God can see what you're made of, so He can decide how He's going to use you. But it says that the trying of your faith, A, is going to work patience. So it may not give you joy, but at least it's going to give you patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, one and nothing. And once again, when bad days happen, when we start getting depressed, when we're tempted to just get so, you know, crazy that we just are even thinking of just saying, Lord, get me out of this. Get me out of this planet. I'm sick of this planet. It's like, hey, Lord, I don't deserve, you know, this life. Just take me out like all these men of God. Remember 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them to love him. Go to Genesis 39. So when it comes to happiness in the Bible, what's the main thing? The main thing is, it's not always going to happen. If you remember anything from this morning's sermon, is prepare yourself. You will have a lot of, quote unquote, heavy days. Through what? Manifold. What is manifold? Many temptations. It's just the Christian life. People say, oh, Jesus Christ was a fraud. You know, Jesus Christ, you know, that guy, yeah, he existed, but I don't know. I think he was just a cult leader or whatever. You know, I don't know who believes that. I forgot, but that's sometimes what they'll say. Oh, he was just a cult leader or whatever. Atheists will bring it up. Yeah, he existed, but he was just a cult leader. Well, it was kind of funny way how he recruits. He says, you follow me, people are going to hate you. You follow me, you know, you're gonna be persecuted. You follow me, you're going to suffer for righteousness sake. You follow me, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted. Who recruits like that? Benny Hinn? He's like, Kenneth Copeland, is that how they recruit? Joe Osteen, is that how he recruits? Is that how he fills up his church? He's like, come be a part of Pure Words Baptist. Well, we promise you tribulation, temptation, persecution. You know? Come with us if you want to live, you know, a persecuted life. Yeah, we're such a cult. But the Mormons promise you a great, wonderful life if you stick with our Heavenly Father. Isn't that what they say? And as soon as one spouse starts to realize that Mormonism is crap and they want to leave, guess what they say? If the unbelieving wants to leave, let him leave. Divorce him. And you got to marry someone else. They don't teach you to suck it up, to endure that temptation. Because guess what? Hey, life ain't perfect. Married couples, they start out great, but what happens? Something happens. We're down the road. Things ain't great. But that's a temptation the devil's throwing in your way. You endure it, guess what? You're going to be blessed down the road. You're going to be happy, and we count them happy that endure. But if you're in Genesis 39, let's take a look at a guy who, I mean, if he had a reason, you know, to be upset, depressed, this was it. You're there in Genesis 39. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which has brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So this is the story of Joseph. He's now a slave. That's not going to bring joy to your life, being a slave. You can't leave. You can't marry. You can't do the things that free people do. He's purchased. He's owned. Hey, but the Lord is with him and allows him to prosper. It says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Here we got a guy. Now things are looking good. Now comes what? That manifold temptation. And this is a big one. She's literally saying, commit adultery with me right now. I'm not going to say anything. But we all know the story. He endured the temptation. And what was the result? Well, let's take a look. Skip down all the way to 19. There's a guy who's a goodly person. He's doing what's right. And you would think that things should go well with him, right? I mean, isn't that what they promised, these false prophets? Hey, you live with the Lord, he'll bless you, he'll protect you, he'll provide for you. But where's the part where he's going to tempt you too? Where's that part? They skip it, right? And this was done by design. Why? That he may be tried. So then later, he'll come out as gold. That's the reason why he tried him. This was by design. God knew this was going to happen. He allowed Potiphar to buy him for this reason, to help us to see that, hey, you stick with what's right, it's not always going to go right. It's not. Why? So that we're not offended when we're doing everything right and stuff keeps going bad for a while. Because guess what? This wasn't just, okay, this went bad for him for like a year. No, try a decade. I mean, think about that. Suffering for a decade. But he had moments of happiness, did he not? But this is the Christian life. This is happiness in the Bible. Hey, guess what? It ain't going to go well with you all the time. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. Even if you do the right thing, guess what? Verse 19, and it came to pass when the master heard the words of his wife, when she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the what? The prison. For doing what? The right thing. For doing what? Enduring temptation. For doing what? Passing the test. What's his reward? A bigger test. Now he's in prison. Well, you think he was sad? He was absolutely sad. You know, so guess what? He was in prison. Hey, I'm pretty sure he was sad for a while. But that's the Christian life. That's happiness in the Bible. You will see it. But what do you also see? You'll see a lot of heaviness. So he's sad. I don't think he was happy being in there. But he kept with it, right? And in the end, what happened? He became the second most powerful person, second most richest person, and it all came back. He passed all the tests. Once again, what do you see when everybody sticks with the Lord? You may not see happiness all the time, but you will see a happy ending. Every single one that stuck with the Lord. You're like, what about the guys in Hebrews 11 that got chopped up? What about the ones that got stoned to death? What about those guys? Well, what was the answer? Why did they do it? Because they wanted a happy ending, a better resurrection. And you're telling me they're not going to get it? Oh, they're going to get it. When we see those big mansions, it's like, hey, that's the Hebrew 11, you know, HOA area over there. It's like, what are y'all doing in here? You guys were what? The least in the kingdom. Out, out. This is our HOA area, you know? This is Hebrew 11 and up. You know, get out of here. Y'all don't belong in here. He's like, we just want to check your mansions. Out, least in the kingdom of heaven. Get out. This is the Hall of Fame, the H-O-V. Now, somebody come up with something cool. The HOA in heaven, right? The Hall of Fame. The HOF. They don't have HOA. They got HOF, the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame area. And then it's going to come down and be here on earth for the rest of the eternity. And unfortunately, Donald Trump, the Trump Tower is not going to last forever. But your tower will. Never to be defiled. But obviously, the big reason why people are able to have a happy ending, people are able to turn it around, is because they stick with the Lord. Hebrews 11. You guys go to Psalms 127. Go to Psalms 127. I'll wrap it up. It's 41 minutes into it. I'll wrap it up in 4 minutes. Hebrews 11 says this. Unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. So if you're that person, it says this, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Stick to that. Love righteousness, hate iniquity. God will bless you with the oil of gladness. The Bible says in Psalms 106, blessed are they to keep judgment. Blessed is another way of saying happy. Blessed are they to keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness, look at this, at all times. Is that even possible? No, it's not. But it's in there for a reason. Just when you wonder, does God really mean at all times? It says it at all times. So remember that. God wants you to do right at all times. Are you going to do it? No. Why? Because we know that a just man falleth seven times. So we know that you're not going to be righteous at all times, but that's what he wants. And of course, we know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. So you're right there in Psalms 127:3. So we already talked about the quick one, the easy one. If I were to ask you, what is one thing that will bring joy in your life? I'm pretty sure that everyone here would say doing the right thing. Absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't doubt it for one second. Especially if you're a member of this church, you'll figure it out really quick. Hey, the best thing you can do to bring joy in your life is just do right. Sometimes kids think I'm missing out by going to Pure Words. That's why people leave our church. If I go to Pure Words, I'm going to miss out. I'm not going to get hired with this job. When they find out, I'll go to Pure Words. When they find out who's my pastor, I'm doomed. That promotion is out the window. But they don't understand that they will miss out because they're trying to save their life. And what does the Bible say? You try to save your life, you're going to lose it. You lose your life, you're going to save it. That's exactly what's going to happen. And for the kids who watch the world on TV, on their tablets, whatever the case, they will start to think, I'm missing out. You know, it's like, hey, I don't wear those shoes. You know, hey, that's a cool jacket. Hey, those skinny tight pants, they don't look so bad like Pastor said. It's like, they look kind of decent on that dude. Like, no skinny jeans, boys. No skinny jeans. But besides being right, doing right at all times, like it says in Psalms 106, what else? What else is the Lord going to give us to bring us joy besides his word? Because his word is the main source. His precious promises, hey, they'll pull a smile on your face. Hey, you may be depressed. You read the Bible long enough, there'll be something to make you smile. Something to say, hey, man, I needed that. Out of all the things in the world, the preaching, it will help you. The Bible will help you the most. Obviously, this is God's number one way to tell you how he thinks, how he feels, hey, to speak to you. He's not going to talk to you with his voice. He doesn't need to. I mean, do you guys prefer for him to talk to you with his voice? Or you like what he did already? You have it all right here. You don't have to take notes. Amen? Because I don't know about you, but I got short-term memory. And I like it because it's easy for me to forgive. Amen? I love it. Somebody does me dirty, 3 months later, amen. I have people apologize to me. I'm like, when did you do that? Oh, yeah, now I remember. Yeah, now I remember. No. But the Lord has it all right there. I don't need to walk around with pen and paper. Lord, and he speaks to me, I have to write it down. No, all right there, already good. Hey, but listen, obviously this is not, you know, picture perfect, but we do know that children are a blessing. That's why we have them here. So that's one thing that it says in Psalms 127:3. Go ahead and look at it. Let's just always remember this. When we start getting big and kids start to run you over and they start to break things and climb chairs and try to take down jumpers at picnics, you know, and fist fighting each other at picnics, you know, and they start shooting church members in the face with BB guns at camping trips and knocking, you know, ladies on their butts, you know, and their infants. And yes, those had happened. True stories. Let's not forget that, you know what, at the end of the day, our children, whether it's in our lives or even in our church, I'm happy to see all the kids here, even if they're giving me a weird face. I'm happy to see them. I'm sure you are as well, unless we get a little hard-hearted. But let's not forget, lo, children are heirs of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy as the man has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. This is one of the few verses that talks about being happy. Uses the word happy. What is the sermon about? Happiness in the Bible. What is the main thing the Bible teaches us in regards to happiness? You're not always going to have it, and that's a good thing. If you're always happy, you kind of be spoiled. God needs to challenge you. God needs to throw things at you, test you here and there, you know, cause you to suffer a little bit. So when others are suffering, hey, you can relate. It'll make you a better person. That's why sorrow is better than joy sometimes. And we forget. It's like, yeah, I'd rather be happy, 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 happy. But sometimes my most humble moments is when I'm broken, when I see people suffer, when I see people like not have enough. And I wish I could help them, and I can't. And the only answer I could give them is like, hey, just stick with the Lord. You know, because we do have church members sometimes come to me and I don't have a way to help them out. And I'm like, hey, just stick with the Lord. Man, this is what happened to me. I just got jumped just walking. Happened recently. You know, church member. I just got jumped walking to my house. They smashed my phone and they took my money. Busted out my lip and I can't even go to work. I'm like, brother, just stick with it. Just keep going to church. Why does this happen to me? It's a test. But I warned them. This is the new person. I warned them. Hey, now that you're saved, hey, guess what? The devil doesn't want you to go to church. And watch bad things start happening to you. I'm just warning him. And then sure enough, he's like, calls me 2 days later. He's like, man, why did you do that to me? Bad things have been happening to me ever since I got saved. I'm like, hey, it's ever since you decided to go to church, it's bad things been happening to you. And ever since then, just things just keep popping up. But he's like, hey, I still want to come to church. Keep coming. You know, because if all it takes is some dudes beating you up. No, I'm just kidding. The devil keeps sending dudes to beat you up. No, I'm joking. But listen, I do enjoy our kids at our church. I do. Did they get crazy once in a while? Yes. Did they try to take down, you know, jumpers? Yes. Did they jump on our chairs that are stacked 7 feet high because they think it's cool? Yes. Did they lick our sugar thing? Yes. That's why we went to package. We have to remove the sugar container because they like licking it. Amen. You know, do they cause issues? Yes, they do. Do they run into me? Yes, they do. Do they run across the chairs? Yes, they do. Do I constantly have to keep telling people, stop, stop, stop? Yes, I do. But at the end of the day, hey, I am so happy we have so many kids in our church, you know? So children, never look at them as any more than a blessing. You know, it's like, hey, if you can have children, have children. Now, obviously, there's some people who are Christian, they are saved, and I know of some who don't believe that. And guess what? They're missing out because they can, but they leave it at one or two. Because they don't have the faith to believe that God will provide. They discipline their kids, the ones that they do have, but they're literally, I'm not talking about the ones that can't. I'm talking about the people that I know take birth control. They teach that in Bible college. Take birth control for the first 2 years. I've heard that from my own ears in a Sunday school class. This is where it's coming from. Not at my church right now, but at another church, where even the guy got up and says, look, I'm ready to be accountable to the Lord for this. But I think if you just recently married, and I wasn't married yet, but I was thinking of getting married, and I was wondering if I was doing biblical because I was a brand new Christian, and what happened? They basically flat out said, I think you should take birth control for at least 2 years. At least 2 years. And I'm sitting back like, really? I never heard of that before. And I don't even believe in birth control because it's pills. And I know it's damaging. That I knew. The little bit that I knew about birth control pills, that was it. And I'm thinking, seriously? And it says, seriously. And I'll be willing to be accountable for the Lord, but you need to build that relationship. You need to build that relationship. Well, imagine that. Imagine if I listened to that. You know, it's like, man, I would have lost in so much joy, even from my two. I literally became a better person once I had my first and my second son. It was almost back to back. You know, but that's something that will bring you joy. And that's what the Bible teaches. What does the Bible teach in regards to happiness? This is something that will be something you guys may need to help a new believer. It's like, hey, have as many as you can. As many as you can. You know, the Bible teaches that brings happiness. How? If I have 8, how am I going to survive? You just have to leave that to the Lord and let him decide. You just keep the basics, and guess what? One of the basics is working 6 days if you need to. If you have to do it, you do it. And like I said, I recently ran into someone who was asking for money, and I'm like, hey, if I were you, I'll be stepping it up and get 2 jobs. I'll help you out because you're trying. I see where you're going. You believe in the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. But if I were to be honest with you, you got 3 kids. You're not going to make it keeping the schedule. You're just not. And they can, but they don't want to. So now it's kind of like, hey, guess where you're going to be in a little bit? Back in, you know, the red. You're not going to be in the black. You got to do your best. And guess what? Having children is one of the ways that God brings joy in our lives. I'll just quickly go through these. I promise you'll be done in 5. I'll just quickly go through them, just throw them out there. But the main thing, if you remember anything, kids, if you remember anything out of this sermon, sermon's about what? Happiness in the Bible. What does the Bible teach in regards to happiness? The number one thing I want you to remember is you're not always going to have it. There's nothing wrong with you if you don't have it. If you're depressed, that could be a good thing. It can help you. It can help you to rely on God, call upon God. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, does God make me miserable because I haven't prayed in a while? Because I know he wants to talk to me all the time. The Bible says that the thoughts that he hath towards me are more than the sand, than the grains in the sand. That's a lot. He thinks about all of us a lot. And my mom sometimes calls me, why haven't you called me? I'm like, I got busy. I'm sorry. But my mom loves when we call her. But she goes, no, sometimes. Like, or it's like, FaceTime me. I don't know how she knows FaceTime. She's from Mexico, an immigrant, barely can speak English. But she figured out FaceTime. And that was her big thing. FaceTime. And when I think about it, I'm like, you know what? I got to do more to call my mom. I definitely do. You know, because I want to. And I can only imagine when my kids are all gone and none of them are calling me. I got 8 kids and nobody's calling me during the week. Something's up. You know, it's like, really, guys? Really? But hey, I reap what I sow, right? I better start doing it now myself. So later on when I'm old and I'm bored and I want to talk to my boys, they call me up without me having to call them. And I have to be like, why don't y'all call me? Like, Dad, you never called Grandma when she was around. He's like, you're right. Now I know how she feels. But obviously, where did I get the prayer from? It says right here, for his anger endured but a moment, in his favor his life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And we all know that soul winning is another way to bring joy. What does the Bible teach in regards to happiness? You want happiness? Go win some souls. How do we know? 1 Thessalonians 2:18, it says this, wherefore which have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What is he saying? It's like, hey, what's one of the things that motivates us? What's one of the things that keeps us rejoicing and joyful? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That is something when I think about it brings joy in my life. People can call me whatever they want. They can call me, hey, you know, a loser or whatever. Or even if my kids were to maybe not have a cool job that whatever the world thinks is an awesome job or whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, hey, you know what? Soul winners, they have something to rejoice about every week. Even if nobody gets saved. It's like, hey, I'm pleasing the Lord. I know what goes around comes around. And just getting people saved like you guys did, trying to reach 1,000. Hey, you guys are going to look back and be like, wow, we did 1,000. That's 1,000 people. And let's just say maybe 10% don't get saved. You know, that's only 10. Am I right? No, that's 100. But still, that's 900, though. That's 900 souls. And I highly doubt that it's even that. I wouldn't be surprised that you guys, out of that list, it's 98%. There are a few that are just one of those that just will pray, even if they don't even know what's going on. But the way you guys win souls, 99%, I wouldn't be surprised, are saved. You do have that one individual that may pray just to pray. But hey, it is what it is. And obviously, giving is something that's going to bring joy. What does the Bible teach in regards to happiness? Hey, you want happiness? Live a righteous life. You want happiness? Win some souls. You want happiness? Go ahead and just pray. You want happiness? Have some children. You want happiness? Be a giver. The Bible says that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. They're like, but I don't have much to give. Hey, don't forget about the woman, you know, that gave everything she had. And the Bible says that she cast more than all these people that were given to the treasuries. And that's in the book of Mark 12. You can read that later. And I don't know why I want to bring this one up, but this one could help. I think one thing that will help us to become loving people is to kind of just take care of our bodies, not abuse it. Not abuse it. Where do you get that from? Everybody knows the famous verse, for bodily exercise profit a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. We all know that. But here's the other verse that we kind of just never bring up. It says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh. And I thought about that. I know people that hate their flesh. They're people that are super overweight. They're girls that don't think they're that cool looking or whatever. They cut themselves or whatever the case may be because they did allow themselves to get a little bit overboard. And of course, people may think that, yeah, you know what? The looks ain't everything. But it kind of is if you study the scriptures because it talks about being strong. You know, talks about in the book of Song of Solomon, where she's praising her, you know, Solomon's strong legs. They're like pillars, you know, not like little bird legs. You know, nobody likes leg days, but apparently Solomon did. You know, Solomon liked leg days. I don't know what he did, but back in the day, they were farmers. It was very hard to be overweight. But now the way things are done, you know, if we don't watch what we eat, if we don't burn more than we take in, it gets there little by little, you know. So I'm not saying to become like these, you know, 2 or 3 hour workout gurus. I'm not saying that. But I do think that, the physical does also help us, you know, to become loving people and to be happier people when we're healthier. So we need to watch our health as well and not go overboard with the energy drinks. And we do have members that smoke in the church, but they're trying to quit. But that's the kind of stuff that can cause you to lack a little bit of joy when you're starting to suffer because you can't breathe. So let's just remember that yes, bodily exercise does profit a little, but it says right here that, hey, no man ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherisheth it. And I think working out is part of how we keep our bodies healthy. And of course, somebody who's going through health problems, they're not very happy. So one of the ways that the Bible teaches us we can be happy is by nourishing our bodies, cherishing our bodies, because our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And let's not forget that point. We already know doing the right thing is going to bring a lot of joy in our lives. Absolutely. We already know that having children is going to bring a lot of joy in our lives. We know that. We understand that praying, taking it to the Lord, casting all our cares upon the Lord, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. We get that. And we know that our rejoicing and our joy is going to come from seeing people at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. But let's just not forget also that we kind of need to just, you know, take care of what God has given us. Take care of the temple that God has given us. Amen. By doing so, you'll live a happier life. And what does the Bible teach in regards to happiness? Cherish your body. Take care of it. Nourish it. It's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't abuse it. Don't destroy it. You know, maybe we can kind of run a little more than we need to, than we do, and get in a little better shape. And men like being strong. Amen? If we could snap our fingers and have six-pack abs and big muscles, you know we would. You know we would. But obviously, I'm not saying that's how every man should be. But I am saying we should all, if we want to live the happiest life possible, we need to consider the body as well. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for all that you've done. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to just bless us all. And not just that, give us the wisdom that we need to get the job done. And Lord, we need to have the right perspective in regards to happiness. You know, there's a lot of books out there in regards to happiness. I wonder how many bring up these things like soul winning, having children, praying. I highly doubt they even bring those up. I'm sure they'll mention spirituality and religion here and there. But the main thing is, Lord, you are the source of happiness. And obviously, Lord, you take it away and you give for a reason. And let us never forget that it's not about being happy all the time, dear Lord. It's about just keeping your commandments, pleasing you, and doing what's right. And at the end of the day, Lord, whatever you decide to give us, we know that it's going to be the right time and the right moment, Lord. So we ask you, Father, to just help us to remember that happiness is not something we're always going to have. It'll help us to prepare ourselves for what's coming. You said that if we live godly in Christ, we will suffer. And you said we're going to suffer persecution. So when bad things start to happen because we are doing the right thing and things ain't going so well and we're not pretty much as joyful as we should be, and like the Bible says, we're in heaviness, help us to realize, Lord, that we need to endure it, because then that's where the happiness comes. It's right around the corner. Help us to pass the test. And if we do fall, Lord, help us to rise up like just men. And we ask you to do all this and for your honor and glory in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, if you'll grab your hymnals, our last hymn for the morning will be number 363. Hymn number 363, Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me. 363, Wonderful Words of Life on that first verse. Let's sing. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, Sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Amen. With that, you are dismissed. Have a good day.